The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guest is your superintendent, Dr. Andrew Jackson. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Andrew, welcome back to Super Chat.
Gary, it's great to be with you after several months off here.
Yeah, well, everybody needs a break. I guess we could just chalk it up to that. But we're beginning a fresh new string of Super Chat shows for Sunman Dearborn stakeholders. Let me just say that we're getting the band back together.
Sounds good.
How's that?
Yes, perfect.
Andrew, throughout the years of our conversations, we often discussed just how important strategic planning is to success within a school corporation. So to start out today, I was wondering if you could shed some light on the status of your school district's five-year strategic plan. What can you tell us?
Absolutely. We just finished the first year of our five-year strategic plan. So to remind our listeners, our original strategic plan, five-year, was 2017 to 2022. And then at the end of the year before, we developed a new strategic plan for 22 to 27. So the 22-23 school year was the first school year of our new five-year strategic plan. And I'm actually preparing a presentation for the board. We'll either be at the September or October board meeting. The September board meeting is starting to get a little bit crowded with other things, so we may push it to October. But I'm happy to, you know, announce to our listeners that we've managed to maintain and exceed several of our goals. As a reminder, you know, our strategic plan has our vision and mission, and then it also has our core values. But then specifically that we look at each year are our goals and our objectives, and it kind of starts narrowing down where we have goals around core instruction, resources, financial, culture, climate, safety, leadership, service. And then it narrows down a little bit more with specific measurable objectives that we're trying to accomplish. I want to focus today a little bit on core instruction because that was new. We used to have one called academic achievement, and it was a metric we used to look at our iLearn scores and compare our state assessments. Actually, the last one, it was called iStep still back then. It's now called iLearn. And we decided that what was a better measure was looking at core instruction because we believe in our district that if we have the best core instruction, that means every day, every student getting the best teacher, the best research-based instruction in the classroom, the iLearn scores, the SAT scores, IRIS scores, whatever state assessment comes out in the future will be a manifestation of that great core instruction. So we decided we need to get down to the root of learning, which is the core instruction piece of it. So we have two specific goals around core instruction. One is that our teacher evaluation rubric will increase by 0.25 points. So we score our teachers when we observe them. It's a scale of 1 to 4. This past year, we were 3.43. The year before that, 3.37. So we're tracking that to see if we improve that core instruction based on observations. The other piece of that is that beginning in the 22-23 school year, which was last year, we would provide quarterly targeted professional development. And we would do a survey at the end of that, and we would score at least a 3 out of 4 on that survey from our teachers, basically saying that it was quality professional development. We do 3 of them each year. The first quarter, second and third quarter, we do that professional development. each PD session last year was 3.5, 3.3, 3.4. So we're in that between the 3 and the 4 on that piece of it. Now, that doesn't mean iLearn scores aren't important. Of course, they're important. Ultimately, that focus on core instruction, which we are continuing to do this year as well, as part of our 5-year strategic plan, did show pretty impressive improvements in our iLearn scores. The other piece is the financial piece. We have two regarding financial. One is that we will maintain a 30 to 35% cash balance in our 3 combined funds of education, operations, and rainy day. Back in 2021, we ended with 32.8. 22, it was 29.0, just slightly below that low threshold of 30% we're trying to maintain. Our fiscal year is January 1 to December 31. So those dates, that's December 31 of 2021 and December 31 of 2022. So we're a little bit below the 30%. What we're finding is our cash balance is actually increasing. It tends to be between $11 and $12 million for those 3 funds. So we're maintaining or building a little bit. However, as expenses increase, as the budget increase, that cash balance has not quite increased enough. So the board may have to consider what's most important. If our cash balances continue to increase, but not quite at the rate to stay above 30%, is that okay? So we can use that money to invest in resources and salaries to meet some of our other goals. So there might be a decision point in the future where the board will have to consider, is 28, 27, 29% high enough so we can meet the other goals. And then the other one on the financial is to be the highest compensated staff in Southeastern Indiana. We have 2 reports we look to for that. One is called the Collective Bargaining Report on the Indiana Gateway site, and the other one is called the Indiana Classified Survey. The Classified Survey is an optional self-report tool. The other one is required. So we are the highest paid overall when we look at the highest and lowest teacher salary, and we look at the amount we invest towards benefits for our teachers and then also for our classified or non-certified staff as well. When we combine all those data points, we are the highest in the area. We look at these area of Decatur, Franklin, Ripley, Dearborn, and Ohio County to see where we stand, and we are first amongst those, and it has helped with our staffing. We've been able to start every year fully staffed with almost all positions. We do have some turnover with our instructional assistants that we continue to work on, and also with our cafeteria staff, we tend to have some turnover there. But we had all of our bus drivers ready to go first day of school, our bus aides, our leadership team, all of our teachers in place. And unfortunately, that's becoming less common in schools across Indiana and really across the nation. So we feel like that goal, meeting that goal, has helped us fully staff. So those are the 2 important ones we wanted to focus on. I wanted to focus on this morning. We have some other ones as well that we're working on. And then we have some that start this year. We were kind of going to wait a year to kind of on the leadership service one to get started with a strategic plan. So we'll be working on those as well. I would encourage our listeners to go out to our website. We have a dashboard. They can see every one of these objectives and a graph to see where we are. It has a red line of what the goal is and then a bar graph showing if we're meeting or exceeding that goal, or if it's a ranking across the area that shows what our ranking is or standing is as well. So go out to our website at www.summondearborn.k12.in.us. There's a tab there for strategic plan, and you can see the dash. Click on the dashboard there, and you'll see all those graphs and kind of a nice one-page summary.
Well, let me change the lanes on you just a little bit because it's somewhat related to what you were talking about, but I just wanted to get in the weeds on some of this because I was hoping you might be able to share state assessment results with stakeholders to bring them up to speed. And of course, for those listening, I'm referring to the iLearn, iRead, and the SAT. What are the most recent results you've seen?
Yeah, thank you for that question. As I said, you know, we changed the academic achievement goal and objective to core instruction, knowing that it would manifest itself in improved iLearn scores and SAT scores. And it's hard to know how you're doing on the iLearn because the state averages are extremely low. And so what we do to really understand what that means, one is we look at NWA scores, which is a formative assessment that we choose to take throughout the year, which we're not going to get a lot into that today, but we look at that more regularly, beginning, middle, and end of year, which is a better formative assessment to look at to see how we're currently doing. The iLearn and then also the SAT for high school. So it's iLearn grades 3 through 8, SAT grade 11. We use that to look back at systemic issues, programming issues, how did we do? You know, some people say, well, it's an autopsy, right? It's like after the year's over, how did you do? And we do consider that and we look at it. But we feel two things. One is we need to compare it to the state average. Are we improving against the state average? Are we improving our standing? And the other is, how are we doing compared to others around us? And so even though it's not in the strategic plan, it's actually my goal with the board. The board has 2 to 3 goals each year with me. And one of those is that we will be the highest iLearn score in the area. And we're not quite there, but we are certainly getting there. I can report that on the SAT score, the combined language arts and math SAT score, we were second in the area, just slightly behind Batesville, 0.5% behind Batesville. So that's our high school students, the SAT. And as many of our listeners know, our East Central High School is an excellent academic program for college-bound students, which most students who take the SAT prior were college-bound students. Now it's required for all students. So that gives you a good idea. We were certainly first in the county by quite a large margin and second in the region. For looking just at iLearn, we were fourth in the area out of 11. We wanted to try to get first. There were a few schools above us. We were, you know, highest in the county by a significant margin again on iLearn and fourth in the area. And then if you combine all those, so we're looking at our total 3 through 11 academic assessment, state assessment results, we were third in the area, highest in the county by, again, a significant margin by 10-12% above others, and then third in the area. So we were at 36.8%. The highest was South Ripley at 40.3, Batesville 38.7. And this is combining iLearn and SAT together in a formula that we use internally to come up with those numbers. So we want to be the highest. We think we can be the highest based on our resources, our teaching staff, our, you know, quality of programming and our demographics. We believe we can be there, and that's a good measure. So on top of all that, we had a significant increase, which we watched that as well. So we were historically the last few years 4-5% above state average on the pass percent. This last year, we were 9.3 in language arts and 8.8 in math. That's a significant increase in a year where we went over 5% increase in the passage rate in language arts compared to the state average, and 4.5% increase in math compared to the state average. That for us is a good measuring stick. I mean, no one would be happy with, you know, below 50%, 48.3% passing the state assessment in math. But what the listeners need to realize is the state average is 39.3%, less than 40%. So we were, you know, 8.8% above the state average. The other thing the listener has to remember is the state sets the score after they get the data. So when they give a new test, they get all the results, and then they set the cut score based on the results. So the state could set a cut score where they choose, and it could be a higher or lower percent. So it's not really about the passing percent. It's about us compared to state average and improving each year. We are happy with our improvement. We're not happy that we're not higher than we are, and we'll continue to work on that. But, you know, we're in the top 15, 20, 10 on a few areas percent across the state. So we do have good standing, and we watch that to see how we continue.
I wanted to ask you something else, because I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are interested in this. But can you report where things stand with phase two of the building project that you have going on?
Absolutely. So phase one has wrapped up. We're not quite to what's called substantial completion, which is kind of a legal term in the contracting world where we have to basically release the retainage we're holding. So we're not quite there, but we're finishing up some punch list items on phase two. The original plan, Gary, was to have about a year break between phase one and phase two. But unfortunately, because of the delay and how long it takes to receive mechanical equipment has forced us to start earlier. So phase two is very heavy mechanical at the high school particularly. We're going to have to replace all of the rooftop units at the high school. So this high school was built like 72, 73. It was added on several times. And so as it was added on, there's not like a chiller plant here like you'd see in a lot of large buildings like we have at our three elementaries and our middle school. We have a chiller that feeds all the air conditioning and does that. So that it's all rooftop units here. So all those have to be replaced. In fact, there's 39 of them and 37 have to be replaced. So that is the biggest amount of phase two. Because some of those rooftop units are 16 months out, we are having to start that work now, believe it or not, for the likely install of summer of 2025. That's how far out we're having to plan this backwards. Luckily, we financed this current one in a way so that the rate will drop so we can layer this on top of it. So overall, the tax rate will stay consistent. It won't raise. Our board has really had the vision to maintain a consistent tax rate, which they have. Years ago, we had fluctuating tax rates, and now it's kind of hovered between a dollar. It was between $1.20 and $1.15. Now it's kind of between $1.15 and $1.11. It's right in that range, and it'll maintain there. It might drop a little bit, but it'll likely kind of stay right around there. And they did that intentionally, knowing this was coming. So we have a lot of mechanical systems here at the high school. The boilers at some elementary need replaced, and the boilers at the North Dearborn Elementary need replaced as well. So all that's going to happen. When we did the original feasibility study back in 2019, we knew that some of these would have to be replaced in 5 years. So we phased it this way so we could get, you know, the full life out of those boilers and those systems and then replace them in this phase two. In addition to those, we'll have some additional things that we didn't add in phase one that we're considering for phase two. We do want to look at things like, you know, reorganizing our library into more of like a student lounge kind of look at the high school for our students to give them a better place to, you know, visit and study and things like that. We have some different traffic flow things at the high school we want to consider and look at. The front of this, we think we can design this a little bit better. So things like that we're going to look at as well. We took care of a lot of the safety, the building envelope, the roofs. Those are all new and they're ready to go. The middle school roof may need to be replaced. Last time we looked at it, we thought we had about 10 years left. So that would be a project that would potentially need to be replaced. We're waiting to see the assessment from the architects. So at the September board meeting, we have a group that's coming to present some recommendations at the high school to replace those and some preliminary costs. Then at the October board meeting, we'll have a fuller assessment from the architects that will include some additional information about the high school mechanical systems along with the other ones and some of these other projects I mentioned as well with some estimated costs. Then we'll go through the various hearings in November and December, start drawings and bidding next year in January, February with drawings and start releasing documents for bidding. And we'll start some of the projects next school year, and then most of the mechanical stuff will happen during the summer.
Yeah. You know, I do have one final question related to what we've just been talking about here towards the end. Are you and the board members satisfied that the overall project is on schedule and on budget?
Yes. So the plan was always to be finished in August, which, you know, we finished up in August. Now we're just wrapping up the punch list items, like I said. So, you know, we have a few contractors here or there that will probably be here through about fall break, just taking care of small little things, you know. And yes, we're on budget as well. We're waiting for the final budget report as it comes in from the summer. We do anticipate being slightly below budget, but we may consider adding a small item here or there. But yes, we are very happy. It was hard work. You know, Maxwell worked really, really hard here. Same with Lancer Associates, the architects, the engineers, the prime contractors. It was a lot of work. No, what's called swing space. So we had no swing space. So in other words, we didn't have a place to put students at the middle school temporarily while we closed classrooms down. We had to do all this during breaks and summer and all this. And we completely redid the middle school on top of all the other schools as well. But the middle school got completely revamped with all new systems. And then, of course, the award-winning Natatorium, we won an architectural award for it. It's a beautiful centerpiece there. It's changed our complete campus look. We separated high school, middle school traffic out of the back for safety. We have better drop-off pickup for our middle school, additional parking. So it's really turned out as a great project. It was a long, you know, when we think about when we started the feasibility study on this, it's been 5 years now. So it's been a long time, but it's I think the community should be very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, maintaining a consistent tax rate. And I know the board is very proud and happy with that as well.
Sure. Well, Andrew, very good conversation today. I know that our dedicated listeners are probably happy to see you return to the podcast and have us get back together. They find your sharing of information quite valuable, no doubt. It helps keep everybody in the loop, I guess, is what I would say. It's great having the podcast alive and well. Good job today, and I want to thank you for joining me here on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year-round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools.